phenomenon that's often referred to in the social science literature as regulatory capture, that people manage to capture certain parts of the rule architecture and try to design that architecture in their own favor. The banks try to grab the financial architecture and say, these rules are important to us and we want to regulate those. We want to make sure that governments regulate the banks in a way that is congenial to us. And similarly, those who are interested in intellectual property rights, they lobby very hard to make sure that intellectual property rights are regulated in a way that is good for the entertainment industry, software, agribusinesses, and pharmaceutical companies. So it's not surprising that we find this increasing disparity, because very few are able to influence the rules. Those are the ones who are already very rich. They don't hate the poor at all. There's nobody who hates the poor. They just love themselves. They try to get rules that are as favorable to their own interests as possible. And it's a very foreseeable and pretty trivial side effect of these efforts that the interests of the poor, who have no seat at the table and whom nobody represents there, are falling by the wayside, that the poor get an ever decreasing share of global economic growth. Okay, so on this diagnosis then, what we have is international law, this ever denser, ever more influential putting of rules that is governing the modern world, is divided against itself. It has a Sunday part where you have wonderful declarations of human rights. Everybody has a right to this, everybody has a right to that, and we all cry a little bit when we read that and feel proud to be members of the human species. And then it has another part negotiated more behind closed doors by governments with heavy lobbying, which is doing the exact opposite, which is violating human rights by designing economic structures in a way that foreseeably and avoidably causes these enormous human rights deficits that I showed you. I've no time now to go into examples, but let me say maybe one or two. The enormous financial outflows from poor countries into Western banking systems, I mentioned them because Austria is one of the culprits. The Austrian banking system is a very friendly banking system to accepting monies that are embezzled or come from tax evasion in poor countries and so on. And then also the enormous stealing of resources that happens. Of course, we pay for the resources, the natural resources that we import from poor countries, but all too often we pay corrupt elites and tyrants for these resources, and these corrupt elites and tyrants then use the money partly to buy the weapons and the support that they need to keep themselves in power. So the question is, by what right can a free contract between us on the one hand and tyrants and juntas in the developing world on the other hand dispossess the people of those countries of their natural resources, and that in a way that makes them even more vulnerable to unjust domination by their local elites? Now, this is the last slide. I just wanted to tell you what the upshot is, right? Most of us think about poverty, if we think about it at all, in terms of occasions to help, in terms of positive duties. Yeah, yeah, the poor people, and we really should do more. But the thought that I'm giving you here is a thought that is unusual, namely the thought, no, no, you're already doing far too much. We are already doing far too much by upholding and imposing through our governments a deeply unjust international order that foreseeably and avoidably is aggravating poverty, is making the poverty problem worse. That's an important part of the explanation, if I'm right, of why poverty persists despite the fact that average income in the world is rising very nicely, why so many people are still nonetheless so poor. Now, if this argument succeeds, then what this means is that we should first and foremost focus on our much heavier, much more weighty negative duties towards the poor, and ask ourselves, how can we stop these harms that our governments, through international rules, are imposing on them, for which, of course, ultimately we bear responsibility. It's our governments, our countries, that are responsible for these rules and for their imposition. And so we, ultimately, are the ones who bear responsibility for this catastrophe. This is something that greatly increases the weight of the moral reasons that you have to think about these problems, to think about these enormous human rights deficits, because on the one hand, it uplifts the responsibility from a positive duty to a negative duty, which are much more significant, and secondly, because negative duties do not fade outward in the way in which positive duties do. When we think about positive duties, duties to help and assist, we often think, well, they are strongest to my own family, to my neighbors, to my friends, maybe to my compatriots, and distant strangers come very far down at the very bottom of that list, of that hierarchy of positive duty, objects of positive duties. But with regard to negative duties, this fading outward doesn't really happen, or certainly not to the same extent. So think of an Austrian who vacations, and of course some Austrians vacation in Austria, that's what I would do if I were Austrian, but some Austrians, let's say, go far away to Belize for their vacation, and there they drive drunk. First of all, the police is not particularly vigilant there, they like the tourists to come in, and secondly, if you kill somebody there while driving drunk, well, it's not going to be an Austrian, and so it's not so bad. Now, anybody who thinks that way, you'd all say, that's mad, that is not right, because if you endanger citizens, children, by driving drunk, then it doesn't matter whether they are from your same village or from your country or from some other country, you are doing something very seriously wrong. And the same thought applies here as well. If by imposing institutions on people, we are harming them severely, then these harms are significant and important, regardless of whether the people we are harming are our compatriots or very distant strangers. Thank you.